Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Avodah Zarah, perek Yud Aleph. In this perek, the Rambam discusses certain forbidden occult practices relating to magic and superstition, which are not themselves Avodah Zarah, but which have their roots in idolatry. He begins with a general prohibition against following the practices of idolaters, and then lists eight specific ones which the Torah forbids, all of which appear together in two consecutive psukim in Parshat Shoftim, Dvarim Perek Yud Chet, psukim Yud Tir Aleph. That makes a total of nine mitzvot lo taseh in this perek. Halacha Aleph. Ein hochin b'chukot ha-goyim, v'lo midamin lahen, lo b'malbush, v'lo b'se'ar, v'chayotzei behen, sh'nemar, v'lo telchu b'chukot ha-goy, v'nemar, uv'chukotehem lo telechu. V'nemar, hi shamer lecha pentina keshach achreihem, hakol binyan echad umazir, שלא ידמה להן, אלא יהיה הישראלי מובדל מהן, וידוע במלבושו ובשאר מעשיו, כמו שמובדל מהן במדעו ובדעותיו. וכן הוא אומר, ואבדיל אתכם מן העמים. The Jews commanded, based on the pasuk in Parshat Acharemot of "Bechukotehem lo telechu," to distinguish himself from the Ovdei Avodah Zarah in dress and in hairstyle, as well as in other activities, just as he is already distinguished from the Ovdei Avodah Zarah in his religious knowledge and in his character. Two specific examples the Rambam goes on to list in this halacha are arranging one's hair in a blorit, in which all the hair of the head is shaved except in one area, either a ponytail in the back or a large tuft of hair in the middle of the front part of the head. There are different opinions in the Rishonim where exactly the blorit is located, and even the opinion of the Rambam is not entirely clear. And the second example is building an amphitheater, or place of assembly, in the manner that Ovdei Avodah Zarah build theirs. The Ramah on the Shulchan Aruch clarifies that the only forbidden types of chukotehem are ones which don't have a clear logical basis, and therefore may have its roots in idolatry. But something with a logical basis is permitted. So for instance, if a non-Jewish doctor typically wears a certain kind of clothing, then a Jewish doctor is allowed to do the same, so people can know that this person is a doctor. In Halacha Gimel, the Rambam adds an important exception to this prohibition. A Jew who works with members of the government and needs to be accepted in their circles for professional reasons may dress like them and even adopt their hairstyle. We'll go now to Halacha Dalad. Ein menachshin kagoyim, shnamar lo tenachashu. Ketzad hu anachash, kigon elu shomrin, ho'il v'nafla piti mipi, o nafal makli miyadi, eni olech l'makom ploni hayom, sh'im elech ein chafatzai nasin. Ho'il v'avar shu'al mimini, eni yotzei mehetach biti hayom, sh'im yatzati yifgeini adam ramai. The first of the specific occult practices forbidden by the Torah is nichush, superstition. It is forbidden to decide what to do based on an omen, like bread falling out of one's mouth, or a fox passing by. Today we might add a black cat crossing one's path, or the number 13. It is also forbidden to establish a sign for oneself, to decide how to act. If such and such happens, I'll do this, and if not, I'll do something else. And in this context, the Rambam says something controversial at the end of the halacha. V'chein ha-meisim la'atzmo simanim. Im ye'era li kach v'kach eseh devar ploni, v'im lo ye'era lo eseh, ke'eliezer evd Avraham, v'chol ke'yotzei badvarim elu, hakol asur, v'chol ha'oseh maseh mipnei devar midvarim elu, lo ke.
As an example of someone who engaged in forbidden nichush, the Rambam refers to Eliezer evd Avraham, who in Parshat Chayisara chose a wife for Yitzchak based on a sign he had established for himself. He would ask the young women at the well for water, and the first to offer water not only to him but to his camels as well would be chosen. The words of the Rambam are based on the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadihei, which says that only a nichush which is like that of Eliezer Eved Avraham or that of Yonatan ben Shaul is considered a nichush. We won't elaborate here on the story of Yonatan, which appears in Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Dalet. The Rambam reads the Gemara at face value. But the Ravid here is scandalized that the Rambam would understand that tzaddikim, like Eliezer and Yonatan, sinned in this manner. We'll leave aside for now the question of whether Eliezer, living before Matan Torah and of dubious status as a Jew, was subject to the prohibition of Nichush at all. The Ravid's understanding of the Gemara is that only one who relies completely on his Nichush in the manner that Eliezer and Yonatan did is in violation of the Isser. But their actions, those of Eliezer and Yonatan, were really permitted. Why were they not guilty of Nichush? The Chiddush Aran on Sanhedrin explains that in both cases, the sign was not an arbitrary decision at all, but rather a logical course of action. In the case of Eliezer, offering water to him and to his camels was an indicator that the woman was a Baalat Chesed and therefore an appropriate match for Yitzchak. This therefore does not constitute Nichush. In Halacha Hay, the Rambam adds a caveat to this prohibition. Misha Amar, Dira Zo Shebaniti, Siman Tov Haita Alai. Isha Zo Shenasati, Uveima Zo Shekaniti, Mevorechet Haita, Me'et Shekenitiha, He'esharti. V'chein HaShoel Latinok, Eze Pasuk Hata Lameid, Im Amar Lo Pasuk Min HaBrachot, Yismach V'yomar, Ze Siman Tov. Kol Eilu Chayotze Behen, Mutar. Ho'il V'lo Kivein Ma'asav, V'lo Nimna Mila'asot. Ela Asa Ze Siman La'atzmo L'davar Shekvar Haya. Harei Ze Mutar. We find stories in the Gemara where an Amora asks a child, Psok li psukcha, tell me a pasuk you learned recently. And based on the content of the pasuk, the Amora takes some course of action. This would seem to constitute nichush. The Rambam explains here in this halacha that it is permitted after the fact to look back at something one did, like marrying or building a home, and see it as having been a good omen for things that happened since that time, as long as he does not determine his future actions based on this. Included in his examples is asking a child what pasuk he learned. So evidently, the Rambam understood that the cases in the Gemara are of this type, not to determine a course of action for the future. But the Raiva disagrees, and even the Rama and the Shach on the Shulchan Aruch permit deciding what to do based on psok li psukcha, asking a child what pasuk he's learning. The Shach even adds that this is a minor form of nevuah, of prophecy. This won't be the last time that we see the Rambam rejecting a practice which resembles superstition and which attributes magical powers to psukim. In Halachot Vav to Zayin, the Rambam discusses the kosem, or sorcerer or fortune teller, who through some action claims to gain knowledge of the future. The sorcerer or fortune teller himself or herself violates the isser of loy matzevecha kosem ksamim from Parashat Shoftim and gets malkot, but anyone who consults such a person is only in violation of a rabbinic prohibition and receives makat mardut. Halacha chet. Ezehu me'onen, elu notnei ha'itim shomrim bi'istagniot, yom ploni tov, yom ploni ra, yom ploni ra'ui lasot bo melacha plonit, Shana plonit, o chodesh ploni, ra ledavar ploni. Asur leonein, af al pi shelo asa maase, ela hodia otan haksavim shaschalim damin shehin divrei emet v'divrei chokhma, v'chol haose maase mipnei haistagniot, v'chiven melachto o halichato ba'oto ha'et shekavu hovrei shamayim, hare zeloke, shnemar velo te'oneinu. In another controversial psak, the Rambam here forbids all reliance upon astrology, that is, determining based on the motion of the stars whether a certain time is promising or inauspicious to engage in some activity. He refers to astrology as foolish and false, and rules that anyone who relies on an astrologer is in violation of the Torah Isser of Lo Ta'onenu, from the root of Ona, meaning time or season, and gets Malkot. The Ramban, who lived shortly after the Rambam, and other Rishonim of his school, like the Ran, reject this and believe that astrology is a true science, and that expert astrologers can in fact read in the stars whether a certain time is favorable or not for some individual. The Isser of Lo Ta'onenu, according to them, is not against heeding the words of such a person, but against seeking out his help in the first place. We are commanded to rely on God, who can overrule what can be read from the stars. However, if one inadvertently hears an astrologer say that a certain time is propitious or the opposite, then not only isn't it forbidden to take him seriously, like the Rambam says, one should listen and take appropriate precautions. We'll return twice more in this perek to this fundamental debate between the Rambam and other Rishonim about whether there is any truth to the occult practices forbidden by the Torah. At the end of Alachatet, the Rambam adds another Isser, again based on Lo Ta'onenu. V'chein ha'ochez et ha'inayim u'medame bifnei haru'im she'ose ma'aseh timahon v'hu lo asa, harei ze bichlal me'onen v'loke. Another meaning of Lo Ta'onenu is from the root of ayin, or eye, that is, it is forbidden to trick someone into thinking you have done some kind of magic, whereas in reality it was just an illusion, achizat einayim. Poskim debate based on this, the status of the modern-day magician. Is it permitted to be one or to invite one to perform a show? Many, including Moshe Feinstein, permit it because it is understood nowadays that everything done by a magician involves sleight of hand or some other rational explanation. Other poskim are more machmir and require that the magician announce this in advance or put up a sign to this effect during his performance. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam moves to the Isser of Chover Chaver, also explicit in those psukim in Parshat Shoftim, which he understands to refer to someone who recites incantations to ward off dangerous pests like a snake or scorpion. Just reciting an incantation doesn't qualify as an act for malkut purposes, but a chover chaver who does any kind of action while reciting it, like pointing or waving his hand, gets the punishment of malkut. In the context of the dangerous snake or scorpion, the Rambam has a fascinating psak in Halacha Yud Aleph. Mi sheneshacho akrav onachash, mutar lilchosh al makom hanishicha, vafil b'shabat, kidei liyashev da'ato ulechazek libo. Af al pi she'en hadavar mo'il klum, hu ilu misukanhu, hitiru lo, kidei shelo titaref da'ato alav. The source of this is a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Aleph, which lists, among other actions one can do for a sick person on Shabbat, whispering or reciting some kind of incantation regarding a snake or scorpion. Rashi understands the Gemara to refer to an incantation which can trap the dangerous animal, and the Chiddush of the Gemara is that this doesn't constitute the malacha of tzeda, trapping, on Shabbat. Another possible reading of the Gemara is that the incantation is meant to cure someone already bitten, in which case the Chiddush of the Gemara is that this doesn't constitute an act of refuah, healing, usually rabbinically forbidden on Shabbat. According to either reading, the incantation is assumed to be effective, but the Rambam has an entirely different reading. The incantation is for someone already bitten, but it's completely ineffective and pointless, and in fact should be forbidden as akin to chover chaver. It is permitted only in order to calm the patient, who may otherwise become agitated and his condition may worsen. What then is the chiddush of it being permitted dafka on Shabbat, as the Gemara says? The Kesef Mishnah explains that on Shabbat one must avoid pointless speech, daber davar, but nonetheless this incantation is permitted for the psychological benefit of the patient. This illustrates the Rambam's willingness to read a Gemara in a somewhat forced manner against its simple meaning in order to align it with his fundamental outlook that incantations, and indeed all the occult practices of this perek, are fundamentally pointless and of no value. In Halacha Yod Bet, he continues in this vein. Halochesh al hamaka v'kore pasuk min haTorah v'chena kore al hatinok shelo yiba'et hamaniach sefer Torah utfilin al hakatan bishvil sheishan lo dai lehen shehen bichlal chabarim u'munachashim, ela shehen bichlal hakofrim b'Torah, shehen osin divrei Torah rifut guf, ve'inam ela rifut nefashot, shneamar v'yu chayim lenafshecha. Here the Rambam takes to task anyone who recites a pasuk in order to cure himself, or uses a holy object like the Torah or tefillin as a kind of amulet, like to help a baby fall asleep. He considers it kfira, denying the true spiritual essence of the Torah, to attempt to harness words of Torah in a physical manner in order to heal the body. On this point, the Rambam himself is strongly berated by the Gra in his comments on the Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeah Simen Kuf Ayin Tet. The Gra points out numerous stories in the Gemara and Midrash in which words of Torah or some kind of amulet are in fact used by Tanaim or Amoraim as a means to physically cure a sick individual. The Rambam refused to accept this, claims the Gra, because he was drawn to rationalist philosophy. The truth, the Gra insists, lies not with the philosophers or with the Rambam, but with the overwhelming evidence from sources in Chazal that psukim and amulets indeed have the power to heal. In Halachot Yud Gimel through Tetvav, the Rambam discusses the last four prohibitions of this perek. The Doresh El Hametim sleeps in the cemetery, fasts, or burns incense in an effort to communicate with the dead. The Shoel Ov and the Shoel Yidoni consult the practitioners of the Ov and Yidoni rites, which we discuss in Perek Vav. All of these offenders receive the punishment of Malkot. The Mechashef, who engages in witchcraft, is subject to the death penalty, based on the Pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim of Mechashefa lo Techayeh. In summary, the nine prohibitions of this Perek include the general Isser of Bechukotehem lo Telechu, and eight prohibitions of specific activities, Nichush, Koseim, Me'onein, Chover Chaver, Doresh al Hametim, Shoel Ov, Shoel Yidoni, and Mechashef. In Halacha Tet Zayin, the Rambam concludes by spelling out at length his attitude towards all the practices described in this perek. Udvarim ha'elu kulam divrei sheker v'chazav hein, v'heim shihit'u bahen ovdei avodah zarah ha'kadmonim l'goyei ha'ratzot, kidei shinhu achariehen, ve'ein ra'u li'Yisrael shehen chachamim chukamim limashech ba'avalim elu, v'lo lahalot al ha'lev sheyesh behen ta'ala, shnamar ki lo nachash bi'akov v'lo kesem bi'Yisrael, V'namar ki ha-goyim ha-eile asher ata yoresh otam el ma'onanim ve'el kosmim yishma'u ve'ata lochein natan lecha Hashem Elokecha. Kol ha-mamin b'dvarim eilu v'chayotzei behen u'mechashei b'libo shein emet v'divrei chokma aval ha-Torah asra otam eino ela min ha-schalim u'mechasrei ha-daat. Aval ba'alei ha-chokma u'tmimei ha-daat yed'u b'rayot b'rurot shekol eilu ha-dvarim sh'asra Torah einan divrei chokma. Ela tohu vahevel shnimshechu behen chasrei hadat venatshu kol darchei emet biglalan umipnei ze amra Torah kishishira al kol elu haavalim tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. All of these practices are complete falsehood. There is no truth to them, and hence Jews are commanded not to be drawn after them. Idolaters used to use them to draw people after their false practices. In direct opposition to the Ramban and others we mentioned earlier regarding astrology, the Rambam says that someone is a fool if he believes that any of these practices really contains truth, but the Torah forbade them nonetheless. In the last line, the Rambam quotes a pasuk from Parshat Shoftim appearing right after that list of the eight prohibitions of this perek. Tamim tieh im Hashem Elokecha. Be complete with God. The Rambam's understanding of complete Tamim, as he says here, is the ideal to be one of the timimei hadat, people of sound mind, who aren't drawn after nonsense. It's interesting to note that the Rambam doesn't count this pasuk as a separate mitzvah, whereas the Ramban does. This is one of the 17 mitzvot asei which the Ramban felt the Rambam omitted from his Sefer HaMitzvot. The debate about whether to count this as a mitzvah seems to follow directly from how each of these Rishonim understands the pasuk. If it says, essentially, be smart and not foolish, as the Rambam says, then this is at best an exhortation to stay on the proper path and should not count as its own mitzvah. But for the Ramban, this pasuk says something else entirely, specifically in the context of astrology, as we alluded to earlier. Even though astrology has truth to it and the stars have influence on what happens on Earth, we are commanded not to seek out the advice of the astrologer, but to appeal directly to God, out of a recognition that God can override whatever is decreed by the motion of the stars. Tamim tieh, according to the Ramban, means to have complete allegiance and complete faith in God, and to understand that he can override the decrees of the stars. In this understanding, tamim tieh is a very specific command, not a general exhortation to think clearly and properly, and therefore certainly deserves to count as a separate mitzvah among the 613. Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishneh Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.